I think, okay, so this is, I'm going to say this, right? I listened to the Celtic Ligers there for the first time in a while for the Leo episode because, you know, a lot of, like, actually respectable German journalists were talking to me being like, oh, are they getting rid of him because of all the stuff he said about Israel? And like,
oh my God, shut up.
And I had to explain to him, like, actually, yeah, everyone was really angry at the, how he treated that and all think it was, like, insufficient bollocks. It's probably some other shit. But yeah, no, I had to explain to, like, I have like several emergency Irish podcasts to listen to that were done about Leo resigning. But yeah, Celtic Ligers is very well produced. Like,
really?
Yeah, I think so.
Don't sound so surprised.
No, you should. No, I mean, like, you should hear, like, who was giving out? It was somebody who was, I mean, I'm not naming him. I'm just saying that he was thrown, well, he named him. But he was thrown some
people
shit.
And they're like, this is unlistenable.
Yeah.
They get so upset. And then you get some people who are like, it's amazing. You know?
Yeah.
Garrett does it all, but...
Yeah, my favorite thing was that, like, one of the complaints that we got, and do not name them, all right, was that they were trying to get to sleep, so they were irritated that there was big peaks in the audio. Well, but that was intentional because I would drop in something to be like, haha, you know, like a fun little flair, like a little gag or a joke, and they're like, no, I can't get to sleep then, and I was like,
that was a friend of mine, that was Ronan, and he
we are naming names.
And he like. It was going to sleep listening to me, like his friend. It was really weird.
Okay, that's weird. Sorry.
Before you joined, Uma, there were people who said that about Cornish Beatty, and I did find it the most perverse shit in the world.
Why would you do that?
I don't
as well.
Know,
like listening to a politics/humorous podcast while you're going to sleep. What do you want to dream about? Like, that is so weird.
Hell
no, what the fuck, you do it.
Hello.
And Nick just randomly starts yelling into the mic.
Or you just list off like recipes.
I didn't really see the appeal of it, but I started listening to Your Kickstarter Sucks while I was going to sleep, and then I suddenly was like, It does feel like you're at a house party and a bunch of people are having a conversation and you're just slowly falling asleep on the floor under a pile of coats or something. That's the appeal of it to me, just taking me back.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, because they do just talk about going to the shop. And
they literally have jingles about going to the shop, you know. but that's American podcasts. We're trying to talk about real shit. Which, I don't know, I'm not guiding, I'm just trying to say, like, whatever.
Oh, in Ireland, we have a bottle return now.
Okay.
Like Germany. We have bottle returns.
Bovril?
Bottle return. Oh, you get a bottle in the shop, you drink it, and you put it in the machine, gives you money back.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fashion
plan,
whatever it's called.
Yeah, there are people there are like complaining about it as well in Ireland.
Well, none of the machines work. And it's very unclear about what bottles you can put in, what ones you can't. It's been out here for like 2 months, and something like 40 million euro has gone unclaimed.
Yeah. Also, I didn't realize that they were actually adding. Adding a little supplemental charge onto the cans so that it was like, all right, well, you know, you put in the can and you get some money back. Okay, cool. So yeah, you're going to have to pay 10 cents extra. Like, well, hang on. I didn't. And then I was like, but then because I knew it was Ireland, I also knew that it was going to be carried out in the most half-assed way possible.
Yeah.
Whereby like I don't know how it works in Germany, but do they have like the machines in a shop? Like one of them was inside a Tesco behind the barrier. So what ends up happening is you have to go in past the security barrier, carrying all your stuff, go at to the end of the aisle that has the cat litter. So just like well into the shop and then be putting in the stuff. And then the thing goes, oh, I don't recognize the barcode, so I'm not giving you anything.
Yeah.
And then you get like a receipt to bring to somewhere else or to claim off the nap.
Here it depends on the shop. Like smaller supermarkets, it's what you say, it's inside, you have to go through with the massive bag of bottles and it's just very awkward. But the bigger supermarkets, they usually have it outside, so people, and there's like four machines, it's bigger as well,
the shop, but it's like before you go,
but it's before exactly before the security and everything, it's just like
where the trolleys would be.
Exactly.
It's not there. No, inside the actual shop.
Yeah.
Like you have to
give me
go
the
behind...
money first. Do you know what I mean? When I buy it, give me the money. And then when I bring the bottle back.
Yeah.
No, you see.
I'll give you the money back.
Like Germany, Germany with green policies. So I remember when Lidl first came to Ireland and everyone was kind of like in awe of the whole like bring your own bag stuff. Because we hadn't done that yet.
Yeah, right.
Like, but Germany has always like the German green policies have always been like put it on to individuals. No, like structural dealing of this. Everyone is kind of like you bring your own bags, you bring back your own bottles, you sort your own rubbish. Volkswagen's allowed to do whatever the fuck it wants. So shit like that.
Yeah, German Volkswagen. They like falsified their results of their test, didn't they?
They definitely killed someone. There was that whistleblower who ended up dead in Wolfsburg, the company town of Volkswagen, and he'd been one of the people who'd come forward about the admission scandal.
And they killed him.
It was like he was found dead in his car and the police declared he shot himself twice in the head kind of shit. Committed suicide by cutting himself into small pieces and stuffing himself in a suitcase kind of shit. Mental health is so important. But like that kind of shit happens, because this is big car country. I'm used to the fan stuff now. It's fine.
I don't. Have you seen my kitchen?
You just got like a giant
it's
pile
full
of
fucking bottles. I just always forget that you can get money.
One thing that happens in Ireland that will definitely stop me from doing the fan stuff would be it's so normal here to be like a guy in your young 30s and have like one of those granny bags, the like wheelie suitcases for shopping.
Yeah.
No, I feel like I'd get attacked in Ireland for having one of those. So,
do they have do women like older women use prams to bring bottles to the bank?
I'm going to turn to Uma
as the woman in the podcast. I've never seen that. I've seen what you say, like the wheelie thingies, and then some people just straight up steal like the carts from a supermarket.
Oh yeah,
and then they just fill that up, and they just bring it back. Yeah. I have seen that quite like old people. He's like, "What are you doing?"
I'm not gonna lie, I have stolen trolleys to like bring my daughter places.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, she'll be like,
"That's fun."
Yeah,
it is fun. She gets very excited when she sees an abandoned trolley. And
but if it's abandoned, you're not stealing it though.
Yeah, I don't know.
You want to look badass, and you're not.
I'm trying to steal trolley stealing credit like Valor.
No, here it's like you'll have someone and they had a baby like 20 years ago, but they have the pram.
Yeah.
And they like put the shopping in the pram. Sort of eerie.
Once I found out how much prams actually cost, then I was
you'd
like,
want to be keeping on to it.
Yeah, it'd be like, if you don't have any kids and it's just collecting dust, I have some things it could be carrying around. Making money for me by bringing cans to the bottle bank or whatever.
We still have my pram. You're asking.
I mean, not your pram, your child's pram.
In my child's pram. Well, I own it. But yeah, no, it costs too much.
How much does that set you back now?
That was $2,000.
Are you fucking
fuck off?
Yeah, it was $2,000. Yeah,
dry heave and all here. That's disgusting.
I had to go to a test room and stuff where they had like emulated Berlin streets in the room, so they had like.
I know the shop. I know the shop.
It was great. I was like, oh, this is how regular guys feel about cars. I was just like,
$2,000. That is insanity.
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah, I had to find.
What are the wheels like? Are they like Caterpillar tread and stuff?
Yeah, it's all terrain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. That like actually made me gasp.
Got a backup like support. Yeah.
I mean, like, the government gives me $250 a month for having a kid, so, like, I'm not going to complain too much.
What are those noises?
I don't know what these noises are. Yeah. Discord's making. It's making extra noises.
That's child benefit. Is that what you're saying? $250.
And then it increases exponentially for every additional kid you have. Germany is very excited when you are straight and white and you're having kids.
I wonder where they got that from.
It was actually Fine Gael politician here. Or were you about to say it, James?
No, I was going to say something.
Yeah, well, that would actually be incentivizing people to have sex if they did a...
Yeah, child benefit is a reward for having sex. Yeah. And he'd never had sex, so...
Yeah.
I was going to say, my dad used to run a pub.
Yeah.
And when child allowance came out, he'd hire a band for the pub because everyone would just be spending it on drink.
Really?
Yeah. In a good way, though. You know, in a funny way.
There was a David O'Doherty bit where he talks about how he lived at the end of a laneway where a kid was hit by a car and they were trying to build a speed bump.
Oh, yeah.
And every single night, the people who lived on the lane would come out and take the bricks and turn it into barbecue pits. But he said that trying to explain this to his German friend, it was like, but the kid, and it's like, but what about the barbecue pit?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is what...
But that's changed. It's no longer... There was this construction going on near me.
Mm.
And it was a load of rubble, like old stone and stuff. A friend of mine tried to nick a big rock. And... it was like in a. It was in
I feel
a
like
square.
I just immediately know who this person is.
And but then it's like alarm came on in the square, and it was like, "Do not steal the rock," you know.
You know,
just like
so it's changed.
Recording. Do not steal.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some guy in a tower somewhere, keeping an eye. So it's different Ireland now, you know.
Look what they've taken from us, honestly.
All right. Well, I can't have this episode properly.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let me just turn on the overhead light because it's too dark in here.
That's fair.
Let me check if it's recording.
Yeah, it's all happening.
Okay, cool.
Just move that over. Shouldn't have done that.
Anyway, cool. Let's do it.
What are you doing?
I'm doing something, and it won't let me do that. Is what it's telling me. So I'm gonna go back over here.
Just stop fiddling with things. Yeah, please.
I'm fiddling with it again.
No, stop! Oh, you're so annoying.
I'm gonna compromise this whole episode because I want to fiddle with things. All right. Hey, welcome to your weekly Corner Spady. It is me, Kieran, and I'm joined by Uma.
Hello.
And today we are joined by podcast Celtic Ligers, Gareth and James. How are you guys doing?
Hi, not too bad.
Yeah.
Good, yeah.
Was that imposing? Was the podcast voice?
No, it was just, once again, like, I've never been on another podcast. So when somebody said the name of it back to me, I was suddenly like, holy God, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This shit just got real, you know.
Hit the road here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no.
James said in the past because the name of our podcast comes from the Celtic Tiger, which was a phrase coined by economist David McWilliams. And then I think somebody was talking to you. You said somebody was talking to you, James, and they were like, "David McWilliams, like your podcast." I'm like, what? And I was like, it's just like it just becomes so abstract as a title that then when somebody repeats it back to you, then you're suddenly like, oh my fucking, these people think of me like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's
set up an LLC or something.
Everything to do with podcasting is very relatable to the whole like Lenny in his apartment, don't tell people how I live kind of. Oh God, yeah. We can see each other's faces, but you, the listener, never will. So, yeah.
Thank fuck.
We will never pivot to video. I don't care how much pressure there is.
Yeah, I don't understand the video podcast thing.
Not at all.
It's massive. It's doing it. It sucks.
Says we listened to one called Your Kickstarter Sucks.
And oh my god.
See, those two is very upset.
Yeah.
You know? Very depressing individuals.
Oh, I love them. And only because if they ever heard this, then I was like, please come on the show. Please let me on your show. I just, you know. Yeah. But no, but they, when you see them, yeah, you're just like, it is like, they look like Pokemon trainers who grew up. You know what I mean? Like, they've got like the cap and then these like, you know, somehow I was like, how do you get like, you know, those translucent plastic kids frames, but for adults on your glasses, yeah. You know? And yeah, cartoons on their t-shirts and yeah.
Well, they also look like Irish. They're like of Irish stock. So
yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. We did get everywhere. All right. So people listening at home might be able to guess why we have invited more Irish people onto this podcast. It's not just Uma, but we've also got... because, well, obviously there's been some news and we're going to deal with that. But first, we do have to deal with some other shit that we should mention, because if we don't, it'll be fucking weird. This has been fucking news all over Twitter and shit, but we have to commit it to recording. Yudisha Stima, a Jewish Voice for Peace, has had their bank account closed by their bank, and the bank is now demanding all of their membership's names and addresses.
Is super legal, wow. I'm sure.
Yeah, in a fun, what you might call a classic German move, that we can... It's bad. It's real fucking bad. Yeah. Has that made it over to you guys at all?
This is the first time. I mean, I'd heard of it. I'd seen something on Twitter, but I didn't kind of appreciate the significance of it. So it's happened today, has it?
Like yesterday?
As of recording, or has it happened over...
Yeah. Yesterday as of recording.
No, well then, I'm shamefully unaware of it.
No, that's...
There's some scary stuff happening over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Germany really hates Palestinians. It really does. So it's not back.
Absolutely do. They've... God, I really can't stand it. It's been... I've never missed Ireland more than... this particular issue at this particular moment in Germany. Like, I know it's not perfect, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they're making me miss Spain.
Yeah.
How dare they make me miss Spain?
It's wild that, like, because we're here and there was the special rapporteur for the UN, and she came out. Do you know what her name? What's her name again?
She's Italian.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Shame on us.
Shame on us.
Yeah. Well, she is really cool. I was like, there was a thing that they used during like the Corbyn years where it's like tropes. You're using tropes. And just late last year, somebody was like, when you say that they're killing all these people, is that not like a trope? And he's like, what are you talking about? She's just like pushing back against him. And so she's taken that energy now and she's gone like, yeah, Ireland says a lot of stuff, but it doesn't do anything. And we're all like here, like, yeah, and getting really amped up and excited about it. Yeah.
Francesca Albanese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. To hear like, no, just that, like, here sometimes you think like, yeah, we're just, it's insufficient. The media is just not reporting on it. They're saying Hamas run health ministry and you're getting kind of aggro at the Irish media. Yeah. And then you hear like, yeah, we cut off their bank accounts. You're like, oh, right. I have completely like, yeah, it is so much worse in so many other parts of the world at the moment for, you know, action against Palestinian solidarity.
Like, does that band Lancome, the folk band, and, I feel like there's always some weirdness around bands in Ireland when they start talking about politics, but then they went over to Germany and they had their gigs cancelled, I think.
Yeah, they did.
No, because,
it's been really bad here.
It's been pretty bad.
Really, really bad. I mean, at first, you could literally get sent to prison for waving a Palestinian flag. And they actually criminalized it a couple years ago. I remember, it's not a new thing. It's always been so anti-Palestinian, so hostile for anybody who is, like, an ally of the Palestinian cause.
It started with this thing where the Bundestag made like a non-binding resolution that like BDS was illegal, basically supporting BDS would be illegal. However, every like lawyer who's looked at this has been like, this is woefully unconstitutional, but they're like, ah, but it's non-binding. So you have this like weird loophole at the moment where employers will defer to it and stuff, but like it will never become more concrete law because like it's unconstitutional. And they've been, there's been a couple of things like where for a while you couldn't say from the river to the sea. And like when you go to protests, the organizers still advise against it.
I've seen people get arrested.
Yeah, me
like
too.
In Palestinian, in pro-Palestine demos for screaming that, for yelling that.
Yeah, but like it,
Jesus Christ,
it's gotten to the point now where there has been a ruling, I think, in a court in like Cologne and stuff, being like you can't arrest people for this phrase. It's fucking stupid. Stop it.
Yeah.
But they're really playing with this kind of like legal gray area at the moment. That really sucks. And
did you see that clip of talking about Francesca Albanese? I think she had like a Q&A yesterday at the UN. And is obviously German.
Obviously German.
Yeah. Journalist.
Oh yeah, I did see that. That was great.
Can you prove that Israel is committing genocide? Where have they written that they're commit? Like, where's the order to commit genocide? And she just stared at him like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" Yeah. She goes, "Do you think in Rwanda they just like wrote, I want to commit genocide?"
Yeah.
Or like, she was just like, "What are you on about?"
German.
I love my favorite.
Like German journalists looking at Rwanda.
I'm sorry,
like,
just
they're just trying to cut down some trees. I don't know what you're talking about here.
yeah. I like my favorite thing about when she said that. She said that she had a word count, so she was limited, and she was like, "I could write an encyclopedia the stuff that they're doing." She's like, "Yeah,
she's
got a great."
It is kind of amazing how many like media facades get destroyed by just like one person who just kind of goes like, no, it's stupid. Because like that's unfortunately what like Pedro Sanchez is a lot of the time when like he was confronted with that, not related to Palestine, but like the Eurovision song from Spain this year, which is about like, don't call women sluts.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, basically. And like the anti-feminists in Spain got on that and they're just like, what do you think about this song? And he was just like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's a fun song. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Or like Mick Lynch. Do you remember when the RMT strikes? I think when, I can't remember if it was late 2022 or in 2023. But anyway, there's a bit where Kay Burley from Sky News is like, you know, can you say that it's going to get violent? And then he just like turns around. He's like, what are you talking about? Like just pointing. He's like, do you see any violence here? Well, all right, move on. You know, just that kind of like...
just immediately dismissing. Yeah, it's great when it happens, but it's unfortunately rare. Anyway.
Yeah, that's our job.
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
And that's why we're allowed on television. I have something more fun to talk about if we don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's upsetting.
Jesus.
Italy's Foreign Press Association has bought and moved into Berlusconi's old Rome apartment. And they're finding some shit. Classic Berlusconi stuff, which is lots of naked women paintings. Sure. But the best one, if anyone hasn't seen the clip, is the secret fucking staircase they found behind the fake wall. Have you guys seen
this? I think I thought it was a safe or something, wasn't it? Or am I getting them mixed up with something else?
No, it's literally like a corridor, like a hallway to somewhere else for guests to escape.
Where does it go?
Where does it go is a great question. I think it just goes back out onto the street, but like in a different... Yeah. And like maybe...
I literally thought you might have went to like... to hell or somewhere. To the center of the earth.
Berlusconi's still actually squatting in the old apartment. Yeah, he lives in there.
I like the way he looks like PS2 graphics, Berlusconi. Yeah. You ever see him these days?
Yeah.
I mean, he's really like angular. What?
Well, he's dead.
He's
but
dead.
Before he died, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, because he had like...
Curtis Coney dead.
Yeah.
That's how checked out I am with this shit, honestly.
I shouldn't be making fun of him, I'm sorry.
That no, it no, was
my favorite one was...
It was the funniest thing when he died.
Oh, it was the greatest
oh my
day.
God, we had such a party here.
It was so good.
At Corner Speedy HQ.
No, it's wrong. It's wrong of me to make fun of the dead. I should be
sure he did
die. What did he die of?
I actually checked it on Wikipedia there. He did die, actually. Sorry, James.
I think
what did he die of? What?
Of old age, no?
He
or
was,
did, oh, yeah. Did
died laughing. He died laughing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Suicide. Just had enough.
Enough.
I think the...
He was sick of something, cancer.
Well, like, he'd had... The reason he looked like PlayStation 2 graphics, to James's point, was that he had, like... He'd become, like, the $6 million man. He had, like, the robot hip. He'd had, like, a million, like... His entire skin was... He was a real doll. They had just, like, turned him into a real doll.
He
was That's the dream.
Yeah.
That's money well spent. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's the original guy. Yeah. You know, who's your man who wants to live forever? He wants to be like the evening.
Yeah,
you're going to say all of us, but the guy who's like, I'm 18, like my son. You know that guy?
Oh,
I'm getting blood transfusions from my boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy that gets blood transfusions.
Blood guy, yeah.
The American guy who is basically like a non-binary, like, person.
Non-binary robot.
Yeah,
Robots
need to be
like
binary,
him.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point, actually.
That's just a joke for your listeners. It's okay.
That's just a joke for your scientific listeners.
Yeah, the listeners who know about computers and shit, you know, yeah, just like me.
But Berlusconi was like the original one of them.
The million, yeah. I already said that, Million Dollar Man. There was another one, my favorite.
Like and he was non-binary.
Yeah, just like... No, I was just gonna say my favorite bit was when like Berlusconi, somebody threw a little statuette at him and they busted up the bottom of his mouth.
Yep.
And he was still smiling and waving at people and his teeth were all broken and his blood like poured out. I was like,
then he came back the next day and he had diamond teeth.
It was like it was some bullshit kitsch from like a tourist trap in Rome kind of thing that was like thrown at him. So it was like a tiny statue of like the Colosseum or the Pope or some shit.
Why would you? I mean, fair enough.
Yeah.
What a name though, because I imagine there was crowds and stuff, and the guy was just like,
yeah, no, he was
fucking
surrounded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sniper.
Yeah, it's like you know the guy who threw the shoes at Bush, and you're just like, couldn't one of them have hit? And then Bush's stupid face when he's just like, he manages to duck both of them. He's like, this is like the most fun I've had in years, and you're like, fuck.
Yeah, that was such a slick move by Bush. You hate to give it to him. He'd really dodge those shoes.
Yeah, you need the.
What was the name of Berlusconi's parties again?
The Bunga Bunga.
Yeah,
Go Italy.
Still waiting on my invite. No,
basically.
Yeah.
James is waiting for an invite to the party, but then it was like, not a political party, the sex parties.
The bunga parties.
Oh.
Yeah.
He had both type of parties, to be fair.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So who's in charge of Italy now?
We're
not Berlusconi.
Catching you up with the last, 2 years of Italian politics, James.
Yeah. Who owns the staircase now?
Italy's Foreign Press Association.
Yeah, the Foreign Press Association owns it now. Some journalists have made it their
office. I think it'd be cool if... you know those cave exploring videos?
Yeah.
You know those?
Yeah.
And you know, there's the one where the guy's like trapped between like, for some reason, I don't know why you do this. He goes into this like narrow crevice.
Yeah, he 27
that's like,
himself, 27 days himself.
Yeah, it's like 2 miles underground. Yeah. And he's just like, oh, I'll just squeeze through here.
That's what
it'd be cool. The press should do that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Staircase goes the other side of that crevasse.
It's actually crazy you bring that up. That's how Berlusconi died.
Yeah.
All right. With all of that, we have to get to the main topic at some point, and it might as well be now. So, Leo Varadkar resigned. Taoiseach of Ireland. Okay, going forward, for people who are not Irish, we are probably going to say the word Taoiseach a lot. It means Prime Minister. It's fine. You can get used to it.
It actually means like chief, high chief or something.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. Ew.
It came from when, like, all the European countries wanted cool names for their leaders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the idea of, like, with Taoiseach, where he's like, it's like a chief, which implies that, like, in Ireland, it's like, we, you know, the only way you can become the new Taoiseach is trial by combat. And then Leo Varadkar having to, like, fight who, probably me, I'd try and be Taoiseach just so I could kill him, you know?
I feel like Simon Harris would go feral in one of those.
Yeah. There's a
if he had to actually fight Leo Varadkar, oh my God, that would be so funny.
Yeah. He'd go Viet Cong. He'd be like, you know, having like a spiked pit with shit on it. Do you ever read about that?
Yeah, it'd be Leo versus Michal just like going at it, and then suddenly from underneath the ground there's just like a hole that Simon Harris has been opportunistically waiting inside.
Yeah.
You were saying like going feral. He'd go ferret because he's a big rodent.
There you go.
Well, they are feral.
Ferrets are rodents.
But they're feral as well.
Yeah, they're also feral, but I think we're getting in the weeds here.
It's interesting as well, because the Irish chieftains were elected.
Okay.
Not a lot of people realize that.
I just want to be like, I love that, like, I'm just anticipating James having like a bit of trivia, then he just pants that out there and is like, okay, expand on that.
Just like, I will not be doing that. I will not be expanding on anything. So Varadkar was like our Macron for the European listeners out there.
They certainly tried. Well, okay. I do remember the like post-Brexit, we need the liberal saviors moment, where it was like, I think everyone will remember that's where like Macron got a lot of international media attention, as well as Trudeau in Canada. And they tried for a bit.
They all had a thing.
They all had a thing.
Macron had an old wife. Trudeau had a.
You're gonna tell me what Leo's
a rich dad.
I'm pretty sure I know what you're gonna say.
That he's gay.
Go on. Really trying to think of something else to say now.
What sucks?
Well, I think in typical Irish fashion, he was just trying to copy the other.
Oh yeah. Particularly Trudeau, because we were.
That was a good save, wasn't it, Gareth?
What?
That was a good save, wasn't it?
Yeah. So the thing, I think Trudeau had the socks, wasn't it? He had like colorly socks at one point.
I thought it was Leo also had the socks.
Well, Leo put on the socks because Trudeau had the socks. That's why he was doing it when he met.
That is pathetic.
So there's a great picture. You look up Trudeau and he's come. Did we go there or did he come here?
I don't know.
Anyway,
both of them at the meeting of the minds.
And there's a picture, and it's like Varadkar pulling up like the cuffs of his trousers to show that he's wearing Canadian flag socks.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
And it's supposed to be like, I'm just like this guy.
Why did they go jogging together? What is this? Roman. Oh, that's embarrassing.
A podium does not lend itself to showing off your socks.
And why?
It really doesn't.
He's like loving it.
Oh, Trudeau's having a great.
He's
time.
A weirdo as well.
There's only one time he's been happy.
You're right.
Blackface.
And it's so funny because Trudeau's a no one. Do you know what I mean? Like, who gives a fuck about Trudeau?
Canadians, presumably.
Yeah.
Them up there.
I think about the thing about it, like the socks really do define Varadkar. I mean, I don't know how much to get into it, but like, you know, when he did that, first of all, copying, as James said, very important, very Irish. But the other thing is that Varadkar was somebody who clearly enjoyed optics, you know? He loved the idea. It was like, when he was putting on the socks, he wasn't going like, it was going, yes, he was doing both of these, actually. He was doing, look at me, I'm like you. But also he was going, well played, sir. Those sucks. You know, and just doing a little, you know, golf.
It was like Batman putting on the mask, like, yeah, him putting on the socks.
But yeah, that was like kind of at the start of his tenure.
Was that 2017.
Yeah, and then that was kind of around the time where he was doing all the kind of cutesy, BuzzFeedy, fun stuff, where it'd be like, you know, I don't know, welfare cheese.
So he hired a load of, what do you call them?
Comms guys.
They were called the Department of Spin, the Department of Government Communications.
What was that, in 2017, or was that later?
That was when he was elected, yeah.
Okay.
Or when he became Taoiseach. And it was like, how much was it? Like 30 million a year, something like that?
Something mad, yeah.
Jeez.
And it was just like, go on Instagram million. Reels and cook scrambled eggs and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. They kind of went into overdrive during COVID, where they're like, just come back from a lovely jog, or like Richard Bruton and his abs are like, hey, we're making sourdough bread, you know, all that kind of cutesy stuff that, I don't know, people can write little articles about and being like, oh, you'd miss them when they're gone, wouldn't you? You know,
there was a great one, and it was like, just finished meal prepping for the month or something like that.
Yeah.
That was this.
And it was like the most anonymous looking. It was like the bottom of Berlusconi's crypt. Like, it was like whatever was in the box at the end of that staircase was in Ranker's fridge.
Yeah.
And he was posting about it. He was just like, can't wait to get stuck into this, like, shriveled bit of anonymous me.
Yeah.
On Friday.
It just looked all like boiled and sad and horrible. And there was like 100 Tupperware of that. And everyone was dragging it on Twitter. Like, what the fuck is this?
Like meal prep.
It was like Cribs. You know, in Cribs where like they open the fridge and there's like 100 of the bottles of Perrier or whatever. Yeah. It was like, this is my crib.
They just make every TikTok do an episode of Cribs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People just
do they not get like, so in, oh, I guess, no, that's a present. Because in Spain, the prime minister gets like
a house. Does Taoiseach have a house? President gets a house.
Yeah, the president has like a massive house.
They get a townhouse, but I don't know where it is.
Access to state kind of houses. I remember that there was one during COVID, there was something called, I think I could be wrong about the name of this. It's Farmley House. Does that make sense to anybody?
Familiar.
But there was a house anyway in, what's the name of the park? You know, the biggest park in Dublin. Why am I blanking on this?
Phoenix.
Yes. There was a house in the Phoenix Park. And basically there was apparently, allegedly, the Taoiseach or Leo Varadkar at that time threw like a bunch of parties there because there was a bunch of noise complaints. So we had our own version of Partygate, but like, nobody was particularly interested in reporting about it or talking about it. Sure. So it just became a tweet that you see in replies from like angry far right headbangers. But it was like, but they're right, because I remember reading that, you know. Anyway.
All right. So let's start. We have started at the beginning of Leo, basically, like beginning of him being a Taoiseach, which is him kind of somewhat unsuccessfully, but like attempting to be lumped in with the like liberal saviors post Trump. I want to talk a little bit about like before that, because his rising star happened with the, is it fair to say it happened with the same-sex marriage referendum?
Yeah, I'd say personally
that's when he came out, right?
Yeah,
publicly.
Yeah, and that kind of I think turned him into a bit more of a household name. Whereas I feel like, I think...
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure everyone...
And the coming out thing was weird.
Yeah.
Because the narrative around it these days is like, oh, the media are going to leak, you know? They're going to like leak that he was gay. Mm. And that's why he was forced to come out.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
But the Irish media have a policy never to report on the on the private lives of politicians in Ireland. Yeah.
That seems like
Mr. Mary Lou.
Yeah.
But that does seem like a
sorry,
level of
head of Sinn Féin for
it seems like a level of muckraking I have never actually seen from the Irish press. Like I would
expect it from the never. English press or the American one.
But like I think that would have been like if that happened, that probably would have even been better for him. Like if like he was like publicly outed by like the gutter press, I think he would have become like an infinitely more sympathetic character.
Yeah, it would be like
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I mean it's possible. I don't know where I don't. It's hard to remember, but you know it could be a case that they focus grouped and tested it. He was always very like uncomfortable about revealing that much about himself because if you see clips before 2015, you know it's the usual stuff where he's in the hall going, "A child deserves a mother and a father." You know he believes that there's the right to life. You know there's the
Catholic. You know,
yeah, trying to be very like. You know, but then 2015, you know, so either somebody was going to out him in
which would be unprecedented.
Yeah. Or he saw like it as a kind of strategic thing. Both are possibilities, I would say. But he was very uncomfortable at the thought of.
Because it wasn't because he wanted to get married. He's not married even now. He's been with his partner for 7 years.
Do you know that? Yeah.
Yeah, as long as he's been Taoiseach, he's been with his partner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at least 7 years.
Not married. Minimum.
Even when, like, there was something, it was an interview that I saw recently from back in 2015 where he was basically talking about gay marriage. And then, but he even made pains to say in that, like, if I ever get married, which isn't on the cards, it's not like he was even like doing cover at that point. And I was like,
I know you feel really sorry for his, your man Matt. Because the other thing is that his partner's a doctor. So, like, Frank was famous for, well, I don't know if he's famous for it, but he is responsible for gutting a lot of the Irish Health Service. Well, like, his party is. And then his poor boyfriend has to go into work the next day and be like, yeah, that's my boyfriend. He just fucked us all over again. Yeah.
Well, I still think that most doctors would be like, yeah, no, he's right to do so. I mean, pay me, but those other people can go and fucking spit, you know?
But that is when he became, you know, well-known.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then...
And it was shocking. People were shocked when he came out in 2015.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
I just remember being like, you know, kind of like, oh, interesting. And then
we're
I remember,
liberal men, you know what I mean?
Back then we were talking to, I was talking to like a friend at the time, but there was this feeling then where it's like, you know, I had a very like, you know, boring, lit brain where I would be like, this is great. This is, if somebody came out and was like, you know, anything, you know, POC, or LGBTQ plus, I was like, we need more of those voices in there. We need to get, and you know, it's true. But what I'm saying is like, you know, Rishi Sunak is POC. It doesn't mean, you know, like all these labels have sort of like worn off. But at that time, I was fully prepared to be like, it doesn't matter. All the, you know, whatever their politics, difference is good. So we need this person in there. But even I remember being like, looking at Vradkar and just being like, there's something about this guy. The energy is all wrong, you know. Like Thatcher kept getting evoked quite a lot. People would bring up like Margaret Thatcher in like even without knowing a single thing about his politics. There was just something on site where you're just like, this guy is not one of us, you know. He's not a good guy.
There was like two or three things that kind of solidified that. Which was one, he had the track record of being against gay marriage and gay adoption, whereas I feel like the kind of like what you would expect from like a gay person in a conservative party still in the closet would have been a bit more like, oh, I don't know about that, or like, because there were Fine Gael members who were a little softer on that issue. Like Fine Gael,
no, he was number one hater.
Yeah, he was a bit. And then the other thing being like, the benefit cheats us all is happening at the same time. So like, this is 2015 post Euro crisis, post fucking 2008 financial. Like no one wants to hear this, Leo. This is not like, we're all benefit cheats to some extent. Let us get away with it. Yeah, no, this, like, it sucked.
No.
Yeah, so...
For some reason, I always had the dates of that mixed up. I always thought that was something he did, like, when he was Taoiseach. I didn't realize, but then it was when he was in... He was Minister for Social Protection or something, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, like, that was so evil. And they spent so much money on it. And it was like, it wasn't even just like this anonymous government project. Like, he was in all the posters.
He was the face.
It was like him posting things. Welfare cheats, cheat us all. Yeah. And, like, they didn't catch anybody was the other thing.
No, no.
Well, it was negligible.
Yeah. Because, like, it is in every country. Like, in the UK, they bang on about it as well. And it's just like... Yeah, it's like 16 people for every 1,000 or something. Yeah, it's like stupid.
In Spain as well, but they target it especially to immigrants.
Oh, of course.
They say that immigrants are the ones, the only ones in the whole country that get
a
country
payments.
With like 60% gajillion youth unemployment, but it's the immigrants who are definitely welfare exactly. and fraud. Yeah. Anyway.
In Ireland it'd be the same. But it's mad because I know those people do it. It's mad they didn't catch any of them.
Yeah.
This is the angle we attack Leo for. He wasn't even good, Leo. We all got away with it.
Yeah.
It is mad, actually, how bad he is at stuff. You know, like, it's just like, wow, that's awful that you think that. But then also, you're incredibly, the fact that you couldn't find. Anyway, yeah. Just repeating what James said. Sorry.
Yeah. Right. Do it anyway.
But, like, yeah, no, there is an ineptitude because the legacy of Leo Varadkar all feels very kind of like shit he kind of started, namely with, like, the spin and the PR stuff. Because, like, the way I think of it is he definitely feels like the Taoiseach that brought, like, culture war bullshit to Ireland.
Hmm.
Like, the whole, like, siding with the RIC or, like, the RIC comments in particular when it was just, like, you're really just like throwing spaghetti at the wall, seeing what culture war shit can stick.
Yeah.
The successful version of that was constantly banging on about like the IRA to try and get like every on the fence Fianna Fáil voter to vote for them in the face of Sinn Féin.
Did that work though? Do you know? Because it doesn't seem like... Like, I think the funny thing about it is him harping on about that. As I was growing up, just IRA, that's like shuts down everything. You know, Sinn Féin appear, you'd be like IRA, Gerry Adams, listen to Nordy fuck. You know what I mean? You know, it was just something that could be. But then, it's a real throwback to mention this as well. But at the same time that all that stuff was happening, with Leo out there trying to kind of stoke up culture war stuff, Irish Simpsons fans was like a very popular Facebook page where they would make memes about. Yeah. But I remember that was also like the beginning of like they would use like up the ra stuff and come out you black and tans. And there would be this kind of, there was this kind of, again, softening of that type of stuff. And also Brexit. I mean, we can't, you know, once he's, whatever was unleashed from Brexit where it's just like, well, maybe they had a point. Do you know what I mean?
But he also, like, when you're talking about culture war stuff, he would call Sinn Féin Trumpian. That was a big move.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah.
And it was that, like Trump.
Yeah.
And, like anything they did.
Oh, like you know.
In any sense.
Don't need to say.
Yeah, he would never explain anything.
Like, it'll be like they're too cross or they're too. Like, if he thought that they had lied, he'd be like, you're spreading.
I think
what's the phrase?
Fake news, or whatever. The But the one that I remember the earliest because it was just after the 2020 election before we went into like lockdown and stuff was like after the success of Sinn Féin in that election they start holding these like public rallies and like, he called those like Trumpian, like the entirety of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil were like you're cheating at politics and everyone who's like studied politics historically was like actually no they're just actually doing it again. Like what a lot of politics can be is rallies and talking to people. That was a very kind
I mean like how is that different to like an Ardesh or anything? That's the other thing. Ardesh would be like the basically the party conventions and conferences.
Yeah,
sorry,
you table. Know there's but a like, maps table at those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that was a, like, I that was a real. I went to
the weirdly electric rallies.
Yeah, because I went. So what happened is Sinn Féin. They were like, we're going to do like one of these rallies at Liberty Hall, which is the SIPTU building, and SIPTU is a big union in Ireland. And if you go in there and you're seeing anything, you'll see a big poster or a big picture, a painting of James Connolly, famous Irish socialist, died in 1916. I remember that the place was so full we couldn't get in. So then we were standing outside, and Pierce Doherty came out onto the steps and started like screaming at everybody, like, "We're gonna go, we're gonna to show the Greens what's for, and we're gonna." And everybody was real amped, and like I'd met somebody. I only kind of half knew this person, but I met them. I saw them at this thing, and we had to go for like a drink afterwards to like process it. And we're like, everything's going to change. Everything. This is so exciting. What's going to happen? Like, they're going to take the fight right to them. And then, you know, like, most left wing projects around the world, Bernie Sanders comes to mind. It's just like, just the shutters came down like whoosh, with COVID. And then that was it. And like Radker had like led, basically, he completely screwed up this election.
Yeah. They were led by Fine Gael. There was such. So, the only two parties in Ireland to have, to lead a government are Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. And then Sinn Féin were in the shouting distance. And, like, they did everything they could, Fine Gael, to ice out Sinn Féin. So, like, when COVID started, there was talk about starting a unity government.
Yeah.
Where like all the parties would be involved. And Radcliffe was like, we would do a unity government except for Sinn Féin.
Yeah. Yes, I remember. Yeah, he said that.
So like everyone would be invited except for Sinn Féin.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, well, that doesn't make any sense, because I think they were like the largest party. They got, were they in that election?
I don't remember. It was like,
well, they did well, anyway.
They got the largest vote. Like, the problem they had was they didn't field enough candidates.
Right.
Like, yeah. But I think they were, like, I think they were one away from Fianna Fáil, and it was really because they had the Ceann Carda or whatever, the speaker of the Dáil kind of figure was technically Fianna Fáil or something.
Oh, yeah. And then they went into government, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil went into government, which is, like...
Yeah.
Wild.
We got.
I mean, they had the confidence. So, yeah.
It's like the Tories and Labour going into government. Like, it's just so mad.
Especially now. It would be exactly like that now, because there's absolutely no difference between the pair of them. So, like, there was always, like, it feels like those parties could very comfortably form a coalition. But the issue, of course, is that they need this shadow boxing opposition. This idea of, like, you know, you need two parties, even if there's no difference between them, because otherwise then you don't have a democracy and you can't like isolate these other people, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, that was, so that's something that's been pointed out, is that he's been quite disastrous for their electoral prospects. They really thought that this is kind of this new exciting leader who's going to come in and kind of capture the youth vote. And then of course he just, governed in a way which ostracized everybody who was young, okay, anybody who wants to like own a house or, you know.
Yeah.
Not that it's the only thing. I mean, I'm kind of post the idea of owning a house. Now I'd just like to not have to be thrown out so much money on rent every month. The point is anyway that like they led he led a disastrous election then in 2020. And then it was all like, but it all felt like, well, this is it. Like he has to go, obviously, because that's traditionally what happens when you lead a disastrous election, you have to go. And then COVID happened and it was like a reprieve. He managed to make this image for himself as there was some show.
Like he just stuck it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he just stuck it out. He just hung around for 5 months.
Yeah.
And then became T-shirt again.
Yeah. And then the thing that they did where I don't know how he managed to weather it, but either way, like he became T-shirt and then he hasn't even made it the full run of, you know, the complicated arrangement that they have to split the role. over the 5 years.
Yeah.
He didn't even make it the full run because he's just, the more people are exposed to him, the less they just don't like him. He just sucks.
Yeah. I mean, like, to that cultural point, like, why we even talk about Sinn Féin there to begin with is because, like, this whole thing of, like, constantly bringing up the IRA is missing, is deliberately missing why people are voting for Sinn Féin in, like, 2020 and beyond. Like, it's, they're voting for it because they're the largest party that's promising, like, things like rent caps and stuff like that. Because, like, it was, like, 2020 was the first election where, like, every Sinn Féin, the number one second choice for a Sinn Féin voter was people before profit, when historically it had always been Fianna Fáil. The Republican Party, as they like to call themselves or whatever. But the, okay, but like get into to other kind of, I want to go to like some Leo moments because like,
yes,
he has moments. He like tries to have these social media moments because that's what happens when you're like a young person in a conservative party. They just hand you the like Instagram account or whatever the fuck. And then at the same time, as you rightfully said, Garrett, the more people saw him and heard from him, like the worse it was for him, like career wise. So I'm just kind of like, feel free to repeat yourselves from your episode on Leo, because it was a great episode and I encourage everyone to go listen to it. But like,
Leo thank moments, you.
I genuinely forgot a lot of them. I remember the meal prep one. We've talked about that one. I had completely forgot about the pancakes.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of food ones. Yeah.
The pancakes. Is it the one that is like pancakes that were like rolled, like so thin that they were translucent?
Yeah.
Like breaking? Oh, my God. What a weirdo.
Yeah. This,
It's like rolling paper. Like, it's just so thin. And it speaks to his mind. It's like that. So there was the pancake he made on Pancake Tuesday, you know?
As a Lenten treat. I want to put that on the record. Just saying that was such a... Anyway.
And he made the world's thinnest, most like poorly made pancake you've ever seen. Like, it's so thin that you can see the pattern of the plate beneath it. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I really feel like that emphasizes a difference between the two types of Catholicism, because I will often talk about this, because like one half of Catholicism, Southern Europe, Latin America, that kind of shit, has Mardi Gras, where they go on the street and dance and throw beads everywhere, and our equivalent is the pathetically thin pancake that our fucking prime minister
puts
out or whatever the fuck. That's what we do on Mardi Gras.
Yeah. I actually never thought of that.
What do you call it? Hot.
Yeah, this is just sitting back and
cold.
Yeah, hot Catholics and cold Catholics.
Yeah,
it's us and the Poles, and then the hot Catholics are
Spain,
Italy.
Are Portuguese Catholics?
Yeah, they are. They're kind of.
They're on the verge.
They're depressing people. Yeah.
The
synthesis is France. France has both types. France has the like, we're going to be like business Catholics and we're going to wear suits and all that. And then they have the like Eric Ciottis with their Italian last names being like red in the face to deport all the migrants, or I'm going to cheat on my wife.
But also
so
Germany as well, because in the south of Germany, you do have Mardi Gras. Well, Carnival.
Yeah, Carnival, yeah.
Which is what we have in Spain as well.
Yeah.
And they dress up in very racist costumes.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that the one that happened in Cologne recently or something? What's that one? The one with very anti-Palestinian floats.
Oh, like, my God.
It's whatever the vibe is in Germany at the time, and that's what the vibe is in Germany.
More racist than usual.
It's there. It's just
there. It's usually there.
It's, yeah.
Okay, all right, yeah. What's it? We actually there was so just about Leo moments. Obviously we got a chance to mention the socks. That was one thing that I think we forgot to mention on the episode.
Didn't we just talk about?
Saying. Okay, you have to be paying attention. What's the other one though?
We're talking about the pancake.
No, but I'm trying. All right, fine. All right,
but that's no, what um, they That's what they've given us to talk about.
No, but they're asking for other moments from Leo.
It's fine.
Bring the new Leo moments. I defer to you.
We can keep talking about the pancakes as long as you guys want, you know?
James has more pancake stuff.
What were you going to say, Garrett? Sorry.
I was just going to say that there was a cleanup of like some Leo moments that we did one or two in a more recent episode. I've already forgotten the tweet. I think I've said this before, but I think I got long COVID or something because my brain has just collapsed. Oh, here we go. So Leo Vradker tweeted this out. If it'll ever load. Oh my goodness. He retweeted somebody and he goes, yeah, if you were white, male, or even worse, middle class, Sinn Féin doesn't want you. So much for an Ireland of equals. So that's one of my, that's a moment that we forgot to, credit to Enda for that.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a Leo moment that needs to be on the record of just like, once again, just trying out some sort of, culture war, race baiting sort of thing. It's like, can I do this? I was like, I mean, you can,
and
I wouldn't.
It's so mad for him to say that. Like,
right?
Because he's half Indian, do you know what I mean? And he's there like, the white man has been punished, you know?
Yeah.
By me putting in charge of the country.
So that was one moment we forgot to mention. And then there's fun ones and then there's dark ones, which are pretty. There was one where he said, like, there was a homeless guy who was run over by, like, a bulldozer.
In
his tent. And they were, like, getting rid of the tent. So they, like,
Your man was asleep in the tent.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of checking to see if there's anyone in it, they just drove over. They're just like, we'll just squash this, you know?
Life-changing injuries, like that's what happened. But basically, Radker's response was like, oh yeah, it's terrible. But, you know, he did turn down accommodation, so...
Yeah,
you know, so that was a moment where you're just like,
piece of shit. Oh my god,
damn it.
What are some fun ones? Let me see if I have that right. Bulldozer, Leo, homeless guy.
Oh my god, Jesus,
this is the search engine results that I, yeah, it was. I have that right. Thank God. All right. Because otherwise I'd feel really bad if I misrepresented that. But I needn't have worried. If it sounds too evil and vindictive, then it's not. He probably said it, you know. There was an observation made by Conor McCabe, who's a very good Irish writer as well. But he was just saying that, because one of the things that people talk about with Leo's resignation speech is that, like, oh, he was crying. He was like, his voice was cracking. He was kind of, and he was like, yeah, no, he's the first time you see any emotion where he's like, you know, on the verge of tears is crying about something that's happening to him. Like, that's the only reason that you would see something like that.
Deeply unempathetic person, which I guess leads me to a question I have for the both of you is like, why do you think now he's gone? Because the official explanation is personal and political reasons, and he's that means nothing.
He's married.
Yeah. I personally think that they
getting married.
He's finally married.
Just going out there, like, I gotta go. I'm getting married, and then like just loads of snaps from Vegas and stuff. You can totally imagine that.
Looks like we made.
Except
it,
you know. Yeah. No, he. I think
like it is like that crusty thing. It's like, why now and not 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Because like,
yeah.
I don't think he's had a successful election. He lost two referendums the past.
Yeah,
what is that month?
2020 election in like his seat, wherever that is. He's like the worst performing sitting Taoiseach, I believe.
But I think my theory. I don't know about you, Gareth, but it's like normally what would happen is that we had the two referendums. One about I'm not going to get into what they were, but. His party got behind both of them, campaigned for a yes vote, and they both failed. And normally the Taoiseach would stand down after that.
Yeah.
But he wanted to go to meet Biden for St. Patrick's Day. So he just waited. He just was like, I'll do it next week after I go.
I don't even think it was, I honestly think his party turfed him out. That's my take on it.
I do think they waited till after St. Patrick's Day.
Oh yeah, no, because they were like, well, we just, you know, we don't need the drama. Like, if we don't have somebody who can go over and meet him, there's going to be all this, you know, it's just going to be too messy.
Yeah, they also love it. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's like why they become Taoiseach.
To be fair to that comment, Biden would be very confused if no one came to meet him. Like, he would be just like,
he's confused anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, have you seen that video? And it's like during COVID, and Micheál Martin is like virtually meeting. he's virtually meeting Biden, and it's like a picture. It's like Biden in a chair and Micheál Martin on the TV.
Yeah,
and like, for Biden, it might as well be like RoboCop. Do you know what I mean?
It's like the painting is talking to him. It's watching me as I move around the room. It's like,
yeah,
that's a TV. That's a person. Who are you?
Yeah. But like campaign trail when he says like, oh, people can be progressive, Jack. You know, they voted for a robot over in Ireland.
But no, but it was really important that happened. But my theory about, you know, my evidence, my case that I put forward that the party outed him is that his speech is like, first of all, it's the most generic speech ever, but it also contains the sentence, I'm not the best man for the job. And I was like, Bradker would never, ever write that in a million years. Mm-hmm. So like, you know.
Yeah, someone wrote that for him.
Yeah, and so I don't buy it. And then like, he's like ad-libbing a certain bits. He's kind of throwing shade at, he's like, and there are people who might talk today, and there are people who'll go on and they'll get, and you can see him getting stroppy. He's wrestling with it. He was laid out to the podium as well with it. I think it came as a shock to him personally. And you know, but I think like he just got used to getting away with it, which is probably why he's so shocked.
Yeah.
Like, he thought like, I can weather this. And the Irish media was like, yeah, no, you can. I don't care. I'm not going to do it. But like, somebody in Fine Gael was paying attention and was like, we need to get rid of this guy. Like, he went, you know, we did a referendum there and he went out on TV to be like a spokesperson for the referendum. And basically people had this worry with the referendum that it would be I'm just worried.
It was called the Care Act,
yeah,
wasn't it? And it was like,
yeah,
basically it was supposed to be like, Ireland's, we're trying to recontextualize how people care for each other. That was like the line we were given.
Yeah, you know, remove archaic language.
And like, Redgar came out and he made it sound like a euthanasia program. Yeah. Like, we're going to kill each and every one.
No, because like, disability activists were like saying, COVID,
we're going to kill them now.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get it now. Like, reload. But like, there was disability advocacy groups were like, we're worried that the language in this means that carers, basically that like disabled people are going to be completely shafted. And then there was people who may be on the yes side who are like, well, no, that's not necessarily the case and we don't know. And then Vradker came out and he goes like, well, I just don't think that, he basically just said it is. He just said like, I don't think it's the state's responsibility to take care of disabled people. And that's just me. Yeah. And then like, but I think most people would agree. And then it's like, well, actually, no, they don't. And so like, he's like, oh, okay, shrug, moving on. And then clearly somebody in Fine Gael was like, are we seriously going to have this guy out there who's just like a complete liability? Like everything he says, everybody hates. They hate him. There's a chance that we could just claw back something here if we just get a new person in.
Because we're going to have, coming up, we have our local elections coming up.
Yeah.
So I think there was a feeling that like, if Radker was the spokesperson of the party going into those,
yeah,
it wasn't going to go too well.
you've got local and EU, which happened at the same time in Ireland, and like,
yeah,
which is why I'm seeing more of that 90s kid Maria Walsh, fucking MEP from.
Yes.
Oh yeah. She sucks.
She blocked me.
I don't know. Yeah. Have you? Did you bring that up on the podcast already? But she did like an advert where she goes, she literally was like, I remember Beanie Babies. I remember Tamagotchis. And she's walking down the street trying to be like, look how young I am. And she's a former Miss Ireland or something, isn't she?
Rosa Tralee. Like,
yeah.
Rosa Tralee.
But then she gets elected to, she's an MEP and she votes to like, stop rescue missions to help migrants.
Yeah, for migrants and let migrants drown. And
she's Vincent like, save the Tamagotchis, that is, let the migrants drown.
It is actually. There is like, what like Vincent Brown is like a political commentator who's was very active and very aggressive and in his day, and now he's kind of retired because he's, you know, failing health and whatnot. But basically, he's got a Twitter account, and maybe three times a year he'll log on and put
out
a tweet.
I know. It's like he's dead. Like, it's like he's speaking through a Ouija board. Because like he was so old when he disappeared from TV. And I was like, oh, he's dead. Like, I didn't hear from him for a week. I was like, he's dead.
We're just,
just three times a year a tweet comes out. You know, and he's just like, fuck Maria Walsh, you know?
Yeah, that's basically it. The first thing, he came out for like one tweet to just be like, I can't believe these sickos let, like, I don't know, this wasn't the way he phrased it, but it, you know, it was the feeling of the tweet, which is that they let these people drown and that's disgraceful and awful. And then Maria Walsh's like response was like, but they told me to do it. I just did what they said. And she's like, and like, it was just so pathetic. But anyway, yeah, she at the same thing where Simon Harris was announced as the new leader, she went up and made some sort of speech apparently about like how she, I don't know, where she announced her candidacy. I don't know what the hell, but you know, like she was up there saying something and it was just like, I just feel like this is not going to happen. I don't think people are going to do this again, because it's more because of how pathetic she is rather than the horrible racist policies that she voted for, which is disappointing, but still, you know.
Maria Moore.
Anyway, yeah, sorry.
No, Uma's going to look it up for me because Maria blocked me on Twitter a long time ago.
No way.
Yeah, for mocking the 90s kid ad. That caused, like, we started this podcast last EU elections and that ad did.
She's from the 90s? Sorry.
We're
I mean, that skincare routine is not ready.
But she, yeah, no, that caused like Nick and Yulia to disassociate.
God, she looks so.
I think she was a teen in the 90s.
Ah, she's not a 90s person.
But she remembers the 90s. Only 90s kids will remember voting for.
Remember the 90s.
Anyway, you did bring up the magic word, though, the last thing I want to talk about, which is who has replaced Leo. I'm going to quote
you.
Yeah.
Like this caused me to keel over at this, like, this caused me to keel over as, like, the perfect description of Simon Harris as we've invented white Rishi Sunak. What can you tell us about Simon?
He's just a little pipsqueak, is basically it. He's very...
Yeah, it's like he's trying to swagger jack Leo Varadkar. You know what I mean? Badly.
In its own right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he started off in Labour, as far as I know.
No, he didn't, no.
And then Fianna Fáil. Didn't he go Fianna Fáil, Labour?
Ogre Fianna Fáil. He was in it when he was a kid. And But he's
which
the
tells
type
you
of,
all you need to know.
Yeah.
Like a child, if you're in a young person's political.
Yeah. If you're in the youth wing of a political party, you're a sicko. And he certainly was a sicko, because you can see it in his eyes when he's, because like what they kept putting up on the news is like, he started a politics at a young age and he was advocating for like disability, like for like something, it was something to do with autism. And it was just like, well, what has he done recently? Fuck all. But anyway, the point is you can just see it in his little like 15-year-old brain. It was like, I'm going to be president someday, the president of Ireland, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't mean like the, I don't mean Michael D as in our president. I mean that in his brain,
he's like the West Wing.
Exactly. I'm going to be the Bartlett of Ireland, you know?
But incredibly, conservative as well. When he first came in, madly then, somehow he pivoted to being like it was so mental because he was like the sexy poster boy for the abortion referendum. Which is so messed up. Do you know what I mean?
It messed up on so many levels. Just the way when you finished that, like, because I was thinking, oh, repeal. And then you're like, the abortion referendum. Like, yeah, the sexiness of the abortion referendum. Like,
but it was so weird. And like, he just came in at the last minute. Do you know what I mean? He was like, kept the head down. When he realized it was going to pass, he was like, here I am. You're welcome.
You know?
That is kind of a classic a thing with Irish referendums in general, which is like sometimes they'll only really ever be called when like the government knows it's going to be a slam dunk the way they want it to, and they'll attach themselves to opportunistic moments. Which is probably why like the last two referendums were kind of like so surprising to me, because it was like usually they only call them when they know it's going to go their way, right?
Yeah. I think, and like there'd been people campaigning for this for like 30 years, like women's groups.
And
for repeal, and he just comes in at the end, he's like, thanks very much, you know, thanks for all the work.
But he also, there's a kind of, it's very of that era as well, but he had this kind of like adorkable vibe for some people where it's like, oh, he's like, he's, you know, there was a thing during COVID where they would certain newscasters would be dubbed like the nation's boyfriend or something like that.
Yeah,
but that's what it was back in repeal. It was like, oh, he's kind of like my, you know, adorkable boyfriend, and he's got like, oh, he's got a little, you know, his social media, and you know, and he says his little things, and he's a bit awkward, he's a bit clumsy, blah 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 blah. And then turns out then if you're like Minister for Health, especially like a Fine Gael Minister for Health, then you preside over some pretty dark shit, you know? So he was Minister for Health, and then a bunch of scandals.
Might as well have been like Minister for Death Penalty. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, Minister for Death Panel. Sorry, go on.
No, it was just that like probably one of the defining ones is the cervical check scandal, where a bunch carrying over from Mary Harney, who was Minister for Health under a coalition government in the early 2000s or something. My timeline on these is pretty bad, but ultimately it was this thing of like, how can we outsource as much of our health service as possible? So smear tests were like outsourced to some American company that ended up producing a bunch of false negatives for about, I'd say over 100 Irish women, maybe 200 Irish women, maybe more. I can't remember the exact number, but ultimately it came out under Simon Harris's watch that these women had been misdiagnosed as not having cancer. And now they're just like all going to start dying, which is what happened. And There was that one. There was a children's hospital where the budget is still being,
It led to this really morbid standoff between like activists like Vicky Phelan, who were dying. And the government was like, no woman's going to have to go through court to get this settlement. And they did. Like, they had to fight until they died to get justice. And it's worse in an Irish context, bad in any context, but like, historically in Ireland, when dealing with the Catholic Church, they have this idea of like, when they're dealing with victims of abuse, it's called the three D's. And it's deny, delay, death. And basically you just deny anything happened, delay settlement, and hope the person dies before they get the money. And it just felt like the government were doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So there was basically a number of scandals which kind of, he could no longer be the cuddly fella anymore. And then I believe there was in late 2019. So in early 2019, there was a motion of no confidence against him over, I believe, how much the children's hospital was costing.
The most expensive hospital in the world or something.
Yeah. So there's like, during Brexit, I guess they wanted some sort of, I can't remember, but there was a thing called a confidence and supply agreement, which for reasons was not a coalition, where Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael agreed to kind of support one another. So until Brexit was done, you know?
Yeah. I remember the next election, they tried to pretend that they weren't like signing off on all the same laws as each other. And
exactly.
Yeah.
So, but what ended up happening then was that, like, you know, if you put forward a motion of no confidence in a Fine Gael minister who has like spectacularly failed at their brief, and then the Fianna Fáil then are like, well, I don't know how the confidence and supply worked. Was it that they were going to abstain or they voted in favor of the government or whatever? But either way, like, there was, he passed the motion of no confidence vote. But then by the end of 2019, there was like a trolley crisis. And so in early 2020, opposition parties said that they were going to announce a motion of no confidence. And it was looking like he was definitely going to lose that one because the Fianna Fáilers couldn't be seen to support him after all these scandals. So Bradker then called a snap election to try and, I don't know, claw back some seats. But then these polls revealed that Sinn Féin might make gains. And then, yeah, the election there, we kind of alluded to what happened. But this basically, after that, Simon Harris was no longer Minister for Health. And then he became like, you know, he was Minister for Health for like these prime days of COVID where everybody was like in their house going like, oh my God, I hope this is done before September because, you know, I have like, you know, my birthday is in such and such. You know, there was like these very like, these thoughts at the start of the pandemic, like, well, this isn't going to last more than 3 months, surely, you know?
Everyone
gave a shit, but like, it was kind of new and it was like, well, this is a new normal and my cat's going to come onto my Zoom call and we need to figure out how. And then by the end of COVID, everybody was just like dead behind the eyes and was just like, fuck, there's nothing cute about it anymore. There's nothing like, we're all pulling together. It's just like, you know, this, anyway, it was all awful. But the point is that at that moment in time, he suddenly resurrected the cuddly TikTok thing. I think that's when he started his TikTok account was during COVID. And it's like, hey guys, just checking in. I've been out for my walk today or whatever, you know, this stupid shit. And then they did the thing where they like quoted Mean Girls. That was something they did, like movie quotes. They you know what I mean? When they went up and they were like, you know, the night is darkest just before the dawn and, you know, we've got to all stick together and we all got to...
That was Radcliffe now who was doing that.
Yeah, but it's all part of the same milieu, as I would say, you know. The milieu, that's the guy who can't say even any vaguely French word. Is milieu, that's French. That sounds French. Fuck it
seems French.
But anyway, he...
It is French.
Okay, yeah. It's French. We're getting confirmation. I'm hearing in my ear, it's French.
Okay. But that was all just to say that, like, then they formed this coalition, and then Simon Harris, then he became Minister for Higher Education.
Yeah.
Which is basically like, it felt like they're putting him out to pasture. This guy is sort of done.
Yeah,
like,
sort of, you know, fuck off now, please.
Yeah, thank you, bye. Promise. And, like, there's like, it's also like the freaking Sith Lords, you know, whereby, I don't know why I said that, but the point I'm getting is that.
How
like,
is it like that?
No, they're just saying, you know, the way the Sith Lords, there's like one master and one apprentice, okay? And then like, the master like kills the apprentice, and if they don't, or sorry, the apprentice kills the master, and if they don't, then they get killed, okay? So Simon Harris was like, yes. So Simon Harris is like the obvious successor to Vradker, the whole Vradker thing. They were like thick as thieves, but then
they've been on each other's TikToks.
Yeah. What?
Do you remember Bradker appeared on Harris's TikTok?
I don't remember that.
That's upsetting.
I believe it, though.
Yeah.
The most epic crossover in Irish political history.
Since Collins appeared on Connolly's TikTok back in, you know. Just trying to think of two Irish revolutionaries. Yeah. That's how fucking pathetic, you know. But so I just was saying, like, he was like... Harris was the obvious successor, but then it just was kind of like he got sidelined, and then he made a number of attempts to get back in the limelight, one of which was he was the one, it's widely believed that he was somebody who, so Bradker went to this party that broke COVID guidelines. But it's widely believed that Simon Harris is the one who leaked it to the Independent, the Irish Independent.
This is Golfgate, right?
So, It wasn't Golfgate. It was actually after that. It was remember Catherine Zappone was going to get a UN special envoy
And she threw a party. And then after that, do you remember they were like, you broke COVID guidelines. The record was like, no, he didn't. And then the morning he said that, they updated the COVID guidelines.
Yeah.
To make it so that he hadn't.
Ugh. They were so eager to save him. But like, that was, so what happened then when Harris is like, you know, are you just in the wilderness for so long? And then the fact it was like, okay, now Leo's out. Who's the next person? And I would have said like Helen McEntee. And then Helen McEntee's like, no, I'm not running. And then suddenly it was like, I guess it's fucking Harris.
Yeah.
So then Harris comes out and all of a sudden it's like, he's back. And then you're like, so he's going to do like this kind of caretaker, like, oh, I'm a safe pair of hands, put it back. And then he takes to the stage and he does a speech and he's like, you know.
The wilder speech is so crazy.
And so they're like telling him like, we need you to sing entirely out of your register. And he's like, okay, I can do this. It's like, you know, like his whole thing has been about how he's cute and adorkable. Mm-hmm. And now they need him to be like, we need you to be fire and brimstone.
Yeah.
And Paisley, bashing the podium. And he goes up there and he's like, and
I love the like take our flag back speech, because I think one of the most
such a good speech.
That speech is that he says the line about five times, increasingly more pathetically, like take our
flag. I know, yeah.
Take our flag.
He's
back.
Like he needs to convince himself of what he's saying.
I know.
He's like he starts up softer and then he goes up again and then goes soft and then goes up and it's just like it really felt. Like watching Charlie Chaplin in The Great Dictator. Just
when
he was moving his hands as well and trying to, I don't know, it felt so ridiculous.
Everything we've seen from everything that's meant to be a sound bite, because the other one is like, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh my God. And he seems like he's going to cry. He's like, wait, you
even
the
way when
yet.
He says,
everything.
When he says, you ain't seen nothing yet, he's like, sorry. No, it follows up. He goes like, they say that we're lackluster and we don't have energy. Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. And it's like, somebody pointed it out, which is that like, he realizes what he's saying as he's saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. And so when he trails off, he's like, fuck. You know, where he's like, the implication is like, if you think we're lazy now, you ain't seen nothing yet. And he just realizes what he's doing. He's like, fuck. He's a real drip. He just like, that's the thing I would, he looks constantly damp to me.
Yeah.
And like very unconvincing as an angry elder statesman. But like, I guess this is what they're going for. They want to try and he instill confidence. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Remind me of Ed Miliband as well. Limmy always talks about this clip. You know, the one where it's like Jeremy Paxman, or I think, was interviewing him going like, people say that you're not tough enough. What do you say to those people who say you're not tough enough? Yeah. He's like, in your answer to, am I tough enough? Hell yes, I'm tough enough. You know what I mean? It's such a thing. It's just so unconvincing. It's like, why don't you just play with the guy you know, as in like, you have this guy, you know that he has these certain strengths, and it's like, we're going to run him as an entirely different person.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's, I don't know.
It does kind of seem.
That's why they pay those advisors the big bucks.
It does kind of seem like they had a role in mind, but actually didn't have anyone to fill it. It kind of seemed like they wanted, like, we need fire and brimstone Fine Gael leader. And then they looked around the room like, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
All
right.
I'm just thinking about, like, Doctor Who, like, where we're like, oh, we have this young kind of exciting fella, Matt Smith, taking over for the Doctor. I think he was like 26 when he played the Doctor. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, what do we do? Like, real change of pace. Let's get like an old ass man who's like, you know, so they get Peter Capaldi, who is like, I think like in his mid 50s at that point. And he plays a very different person.
Yeah.
But it'd be like if you did that, but like you switched the actors where it's like, you know, we have this Peter old Capaldi, crusty conservative man. Yeah.
But he's not even, he's like your man. Who's the one? Who's the woman, Doctor Who?
Jodie Whittaker.
Yeah. And her assistant is like a granddad and the guy who's like afraid of climbing ladders.
Anybody who watches Doctor Who, they're laughing their whole life.
Yeah. No,
made the man afraid to climb ladders, Taoiseach. That's what's happened.
Yeah.
So it's not looking great, but
no, it's not good.
No. That's fine.
It's not the same as it was, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, with that, we are approaching time, so I just want to say, Gareth, James, thank you once again. Where can people find you and your lovely podcast?
I actually think you can find us on www.celticligers.com. Let me just check that really quickly. Right. And you can get it. And then we're on @CelticLigers on all social media. Somehow that wasn't taken. I have no idea. By the way, it is not www.celticligers.com, although yeah. Apparently I own that domain name, so I just need to change. So maybe just check back. By the time this comes up,
just go to
go on to
the
it's just ruined your whole weekend. You're going to make a website.
Yeah, go to the Instagram or Twitter.
@CelticLigers on Instagram, @CelticLigers on Twitter. And then we're on, you know, all podcast platforms that are good. Spotify, I mean, which is really good. We all love Spotify.
We all love it.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
All right. With that, we will. Oh shit! No, fuck. Eurovision 2024. There are tickets still available on the 11th of May for our alternative Eurovision show because there's a boycott this year. Do not watch the actual Eurovision. Come to our show. Pay money to get in. It's like 4 hours plus of entertainment. All the money goes to Medical Aid Palestine.
4 hours.
Amazing.
4 hours, Uma.
Jesus. Okay.
And if you're
fair
not,
play.
And if you're not in Berlin, it'll be live streamed on twitch.tv/quarterspitty. Do not alert anyone from Universal Music Group. Thank you very much. If you work for them, you have to tell us.
yeah.
With that, we will catch you on the bonus feed. Ciao, ciao.
Bye.